right, now what book are we going to look at this morning? Psalms, very good. Have you found that yet? We'll be back there. True or false? Psalms rhyme. True or false? Psalms have rhythm. Well, now, in English poetry would have rhythm, but Psalms don't really have rhythm like English poetry does. You want me to quote you some more English poetry to get you lined out? True or false? The characteristic of Psalms is parallels. What's a parallel? What's a parallel? Very good. Thank you. Good to see you again. They complement each other. They say the same thing, or they say the opposite thing. The two lines will speak to each other that way. Now, someone was very concerned about Psalm number 29, the thunderstorm psalm. I hope you all read that. Because Psalm number 29 has two different rendings. Would you look, please, in Psalm 29, verse 9. Psalm 29, verse 9. Now, read the first phrase, please, and let's talk back and forth. We're going to have a little poll. The first phrase might say something like this. Let me go ahead and come back here a page. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. All right, does anybody see that? Does your translation say that? 29.9. Please raise your hand. I can see him. Okay. Okay. Oh, good old King James. You and I are still there. How many of you say in 29.9 something about the oak tree? Is that right? Read to me. Tell me your name, please. Hi, Rosemary. Rosemary. Read what it says. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks, or the voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. Now, you know what a hind is? A deer. Makes a deer to calve. And let's do that again. I want you to vote now and see what your translator says. Those of you that talk about deer, raise your hand boldly so we can see about how many. Those that talk about oak trees, raise your hand. We may have more oak trees today than we do deer. All right. Well, it's an interesting situation there, and I actually went back and did my research. I hope you realize that most of my library is books that have been weeded out of somebody else's library. And so this has two sentences on that passage that we were debating last week, and this one leans to the deer having calves. That's why maybe I am, because I have used this commentary for a long time. But the word between deer and oak is very, very similar. And when you look at the rest of the passage, look at the rest of 9, he strips the forest bare. Remember, if we're reading in parallel, if those two sentences are speaking to each other, maybe the twisted oak tree is the correct translation. Because the phrase, you know, he strips the forest bare, you've seen those storms come through when all the leaves get beat off the trees. And the forest is stripped, at least the part that we see. Okay. I'm not going to resolve the problem. The word between oak and deer is very similar. Now, I hope you realize that Hebrew doesn't have any consonants. You got me? No, it doesn't have any vowels. Thank you. I had half of it right. What would I give a student? I would want a student to have wrestled with it and write up either side, as long as they've wrestled with it and not just pass it off and, oh, that's not important. Be okay. All right. So if we're going to follow the parallel theme, maybe the oak tree is best. But if we're going to follow the old system for years we've got along with, those thunderstorms that come through make the deer have calves. It makes the sheep lamb. It makes the heifers, you know. All of our calves are born. All of us beef people, our calves are born about this time of year. It's February and March. There's some relationship between thunderstorms and babies being born. It makes, well, okay, there's no resolution. I don't have a real answer for that. But thank you for reading it. I think that is so refreshing. Now, okay, can we get back to where we were last week? It wasn't a year ago. We were talking about Psalms of nature, Psalms in which people looked at nature and glorified God. They looked at nature, and when they saw nature, did anybody see the progress of the daffodils from last Sunday to this Sunday at the front of this church building? Does anybody look at nature and see God? Oh, let's see. There's an interesting, see, whenever we praise God, we're actually affirming God for who He is. Affirming the characteristics of God. Oh, there's a little song we used to sing. God is so very good. That is very good. That's a good description of God. God is good. The characteristics of God. God is so. No, you got to think of another one this time, all right? What is another characteristic of God? God is great. God is so beautiful. God is so wonderful. God is so, I missed it, holiness, majesty. God is, okay, you got me? So those are the phrases. Many times they look at nature and they see God. And they write poetry. Not only is this God's word to man, but it's man's word to God. If I missed some of you from last week, just try to catch up. Okay, here we go. You realize we write Psalms that same way now. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, help me out, consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see, I hear, thy power throughout the universe display. You know, they could have written Psalm number 29, the thunderstorm psalm, out of that. We still look at nature and see the glory of God. For the beauty of the earth. Does anybody know that one? Am I singing it too bad? For the glory of the sun. You got me? We still look at nature and we write about Psalms. In fact, I was thumbing the hymnal back there this morning and saw in the stars his handiwork I see. I'm not singing very well today. Oh, careful. I get to give the final grade. What's that song? In the stars his handiwork I see. On the wind he speaks with majesty. Is anybody seeing any correlation between words of how we describe God and how we write it in our Psalms? Okay. All right. Now let's look at two different types of Psalms today. Last week we got an introduction and I hope a little lesson on how to read Psalms and a little snatch of nature Psalms. You look at nature and you praise God for His characteristics. Let's look at two types of Psalms today. One of them are the downer Psalms, the Psalms which are not quite as glorious, not quite as uplifting, not quite as happy as we normally think of the praise Psalms. These are the laments. I have four marked here, and if we're on schedule, we will look at these four, then we'll go to another section of Psalms to deal with those Psalms. And we're going to quit here at 10:45. Okay. Fasten your seatbelt and observe the no smoking sign. Look at Psalm number 137. Now again, I do these in contrast to the praise Psalm. Last week, We did the praise song. Those times in life when our experience lifts us to glorify God for who He is. And they're glory, hallelujah, they're tra-la-la. About half of the Psalms are praise, categorized as praise Psalms. But there's another bunch of Psalms, about 30 Psalms, about 28, I guess, that are called laments. Now again, we describe the Psalms as being not only God's word to us, but our word to God. So whenever, not all of our life is glory, hallelujah, tra-la-la, is it? I think you're right. Some of our life is pain, and some of our life is just real anguish, and there's discouragement, and there's depression, there's defeat, and there's all of those illnesses and bereavements that come into life. And the Psalms is realistic about that. Psalm 137 is a sample thereof of what we call a lament. I'm in Isaiah. I'm going to have to get learn the Bible. A lament. Now, if you want a good word, it's called imprecatory. Say imprecatory. That's your new word for today. You should pick up one new word every day. What did I just tell you? Oh, 137. Psalm 137. This is the opposite of praise. This is a heartbroken person who writes, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept." Glory, hallelujah, tra-la-la. No. "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept." There's weeping in these Psalms when we remember Zion. Our hearts were broken. "And upon the willows in the middle of it, we hung our harps." Our captors, they demanded of us songs. And the parallel says, "And our tormentors with mirth said, come on, sing us one of those songs of Zion." Aren't you going to sing songs of Zion? "We're marching to Zion." Come on, let's have a few tunes of Amazing Grace. Do you see their tormentors teasing them? Their hearts are broken. "How can we sing the Lord's song," verse 4, "in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill, and may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my people. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom." Now this is where it comes into a imprecatory psalm. This is revenge. Let's not get even. "Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, those who said, raise it to its very foundation." You know, there were people standing, screaming, tear that building down, raise it to its very foundation. "O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one. How blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you've been repaid. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock in loving kindness." Do you see that? Very seldom do us preachers ever preach on Psalm 137. There's some hate. There is some anger. There is some revenge there. "How blessed will be the one who comes into your town, grabs your kids by the heel, and dashes them up against the rock, just the way you did our kids. I hope it happens too." Now I'm just going to hold that as a sample. Will you hold that as a sample? And I want to move to a couple of others, and then let's deal with negative emotions the way the inspired scripture deals with negative emotions. Go ahead to Psalm number 22. Jesus died on the cross. And as Jesus was dying on the cross, Jesus quoted Psalms. Okay? Jesus quoted Psalms. But he quoted a lament. He's not quoting a phrase, "Isn't it a wonderful, and the flowers are blooming, and the sky is shining, and the clouds are dancing across the sky." No, no, no. He is quoting a lament. Psalm number 22. Jesus is taught by his mom. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus quoted Psalms, but he's quoting a lament about a God that is a million miles away.
Have you ever been in that situation? When your God seems to have turned his back and does not care about the crisis that you live in, does not seem to care about the pain that you live in, and there's no voice from God. Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my going. Oh, my God, I cry by day, and what happens? And I cry by night. Oh, I have no reason. I have no reason. This person's in mystery. You've probably been there. Now keep reading. Go down to verse 2. I am but a... Now how many of your new translations translated that one out? Okay, good. I'm glad they left it there. We've taken it out of some of the new hymns. No longer is it such a worm as I. It's quite biblical. For those living in my nest land, I am but a worm. I'm not a man. I don't even feel like... Let's keep going. A reproach to men, despised by the people. All those who see me sneer at me. Is anybody now, I want you to think Matthew chapter 27. They sneer at me. They separate with their lips. They wag their heads saying, hey, commit yourself to the Lord. He'll deliver you. He'll come rescue you. He delights in you. That's in Matthew 27, verses 39 and verses 43. Reporting right there, his sister, from Matthew's perspective. Down to verse 16. The dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Jesus is quoting this psalm as he dies on the cross. Yes, Jesus quoted psalm. It was a lament, a heartbreaking psalm. They count my bones, verse 17. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. And we could keep going on and on. Now, I don't want you to respond to that unless there's some burning issue deep within your heart right now. But Jesus knew the lament. And Jesus called it this heartbreaking thing. Now, I'm going to do one more. Before that, 109. Let's do Psalm 109. Turn in your Hebrew hymnal, please, to hymn number 109. You see, these things were sung either in private devotion or in public worship, as we did some of them last week. In Hebrew culture, and here we go. Another lament. Example number 3. O God of praise, my praise, do not be silent. They have opened their wicked and deceitful mouth against me, and they have spoken against me with a lying tongue. I don't know if you have been victim of lies. Have you been victim of gossip? Probably everyone in the building can vote on that. The people have told lies and distorted the truth about you, and he says, God, they're talking about me. Please don't you be silent. They've surrounded me with words of hatred in verse 3, and they fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers. Go down to verse 3. I want you to read this, hear it, as it is, and just, if you're Hebrew, you have an interesting response. Dear loving God, please appoint a wicked man over him. I think somebody has figured this out already. And may an accuser stand at his right hand, and when he is judged, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let his days be few. What is that request? That's exactly right. Thank you. You're reading it right. I hope that sucker dies. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Verse 9. And let his children be fatherless, and let his wife be a widow, and let those children wander about and beg. Let them seek justice far from their ruined homes. Oh, and about those ruined homes there in verse 11. Let's have a creditor seize all that he has. And then let a stranger plunder the product of his work, and let no one extend loving kindness to him, and on. Now again, I hope you see what's happening here. Let's talk about that for a quick moment. Now please feel free to interrupt as you do. But in this lament, the Hebrew writer does something that is probably constructive and instructive to us on how to deal with pain. He does a Hebrew thing of piling curse upon curse upon his accuser. You got me? Piles all of these curses upon his accuser. I hope he has an accuser come stand at his right hand, and I hope he is declared guilty. I hope they take everything he... I hope he dies, Lord. I hope his wife's a widow. I hope his children don't have a father. I hope they plunder his land. You got me? They just left. That is Hebrew humor. Yes, that's right. When the Hebrews yesterday in their service, if anybody ever had the boldness to read 109 in one of those, they would have laughed. It is really Hebrew humor. It is a comedic scene where we just pronounce curse upon curse upon curse upon that old boy, and we get it so silly that it becomes humorous, and we just are all sitting around laughing about our adversary. Huh. Now, I'm sorry, I spent 20 years in Missouri. And the culture capital of Missouri is Branson. And so, you know, I'm kind of limited. We had a beautiful Bach piece last week's song. It's been so long since I've heard Bach, but I can do Branson. And there's a song that went around there for a long time. May the birds of paradise fly up your nose. May an elephant crush your little toes. May your wife be plagued with runners in her hose. May the birds of paradise fly up your nose. Pronouncing these silly little curses upon your adversary until they build up and it becomes hyperbolic, and we are just laughing at the hyperboles that have been created. And somehow that has landed in our divinely inspired scripture, probably as direction on how to deal with those who have dealt poorly with us. Number one, it's the Lord's job to take revenge. It is not yours. Okay? And in here, in all of these laments, you never find one of these people taking action to get revenge. Now, they do admit it, and they do write it down. When you have been wounded and when your heart is broken, might I suggest you write it down. You express it. You see, anger, there's only three ways you can deal with anger. One, you can flash out at somebody else and you can wound and fry them. Right? Or you can keep it bottled up inside you so that it ferments there, like whatever ferments. Takes you, boils up, and destroys you. Or you can express it in a constructive way, on paper, in the presence of a wise Christian friend, and make faith. You get me? And if he breathes, take one to two. You're not going to flash out at anybody. I'm not going to try to get revenge on them. And I'm not either going to let it just boil up inside me so that I pout, and so that I'm sultry, and so that I'm surly, and I'm hostile all the time. I'm going to express it. And they express it, and the more you express it, the more it becomes numerous. And they start laughing. Can we leave those imprecatory psalms as good guidance hometown to survive the negative times? Did I lose you all about 10 minutes ago? Yeah. Thank you for having the savvy to read further beyond the union. He then is calling to God, God, I'm depending on you to bail me out. There's not any other source I'm going to. Deal, verse 21, O God, deal kindly with me. Deal kindly with me, and many times it's in there as a little bargain to God, for thine ancestor, God. If you'll deal kindly with me, I'll make sure you get the credit for it, and your name will be blessed. You find that many, many times in God, please deal kindly with me, because thy loving kindness is good. Deliver me. I'm afflicted, I'm needy, my heart is wounded within me, but I'm doing nothing. Verse 26, help me, O God, save me. According to thy loving kindness. Now again, it's according to thy loving kindness, O God, not according to my good works. Save me because you owe me this, O God. Save me because of peace. That's how we want to be a good one to begin with. Find a place. But note, whenever you're down and discouraged and defeated, go to the Psalms, will you? Psalms has words. Now let me move on to the second type of psalm for the morning that I want you to know. Yes, Jerry. That's why I think the Psalms are so important. There are those kinds of praise in here, where every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. But if you're really serious about reading the Psalms, there's not, this day is even worse than it was yesterday. And my cancer is growing, and tomorrow is even worse than yesterday. It's exactly that. And again, in those options of how to deal with our negative emotions, that we've got to express them, we'll write them down, but expressing them verbally. Find somebody beyond your spouse who doesn't take you too seriously. You know, they'll listen to you for 20 minutes and then they'll say, let's have a cup of coffee. And that kind of helps put it all in perspective. If you get somebody that's just empathetic, and wants to just keep on you. Oh, yes, you are such a privilege, and you are so overworked, and you are so underpaid, and all that kind of stuff. No, you got to listen to it. But then they blow it off. Put it all in perspective and go play out of it. Find you somebody who's talking to you. Don't find somebody who calls you 80 bucks an hour. Now, they're okay. I don't want to bad them. Right? If there are people in this building who can do any more good, we play the whole water thing near that there. So then, and you're exactly right, I think, in what you're doing there. Yes, Jesus talks about telling those people in the text tomorrow, you know. Paul talks about that. Be good to you, and when he says do it, what happens? Amen. That's pure humor. If you can call the fire on the text. All that. Paul knew the Psalms, as Jesus knew the Psalms, and he was feeling some good old good humor. Just hold the fire on the text. Do not let him control your way of behavior. If he does you bad, you turn around and do him good. And in so doing, you will keep hold the fire. That's a funny image that you can do it. Mary Wollstonecraft had an interesting phrase. She's a theologian that said, tell them that one go out to do evil, they go out to look for happiness. And going out and looking for happiness, they look in the wrong areas, and that causes them to do evil. And that's why all those bars, where we were talking, where were we in Scotland while they were in Edinburgh? They were not instead going out to do evil, they were going out looking in that, look for happiness, and if they did, makes people. So evil that we have is a big deal. Sometimes that happens. Alright, I'm going to do one more step and then quit. Okay? Your last assignment, past song, at every step, is to deal with Psalm 120 through 134. There are 15 psalms there. Because Paul, we all have the same little prefix. And the prefix is a song of a text. Some of you people that are still with King James, it says a hymn of degrees. Song of degrees, testament, song of ascent. There are 15 little songs there. Now, do you know that they're all about the same length? I would have let you practice figure that out here. They're all about the same way. They all have that same little ditty at the beginning, the song of ascent. There are 15 of them, and they've all been collected here in the hymnal under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Those are the songs that families sung as they went to church. Now, you all have children. I'm going to guess most of us have children. And we know that one of the great tragedies of life is the family vacation. There you go. If there is a hell, it's probably, I do believe, probably a family vacation that comes tripping back to. I say that as gift. I do that as gift. If you can remember those times of anxiety and awe trying to keep them. You get on that side of the seat, you get on that side of the seat. We do some days. We didn't take it too long. Put one adult in the back seat and the other person driving. And yeah, it works like that. But these are nice little songs that the parents sing as they get to do. You know, if you get to that thing, maybe you want to talk to you. And you put that thing in my thing until 4 or 5 years. It would be that right going. Good to lay in, world plans, all that, and one just for our feet. You can live long, the plans you see. And so, for instance, they ascended up the hill. That's what this is. Ascend up the hill to be a conclusion to step on the hill. Verse 121, look at 121, we'll be quick. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill. You got me? We're going up the hill to the infinite. I lift up mine eyes to the hill, and then there's a question. And the question is, where's my help come from? Well, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, this is probably the family plan of family, all ages, the oldest man. I will lift up mine eyes to the hill. And then the question response is the Spirit goes into the church. From whence comes my help? The old man responds, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you goes. I was glad when they said unto me, you've been a father of God, haven't you? Let us go to the house of the Lord. If you want to go, you'll get it. This is the last time you get one person together. This is not me to say this. All of you that, when you all are coming to remember whenever the Reformation started, over there, all those, for 40 years, they had the 40 Years' War. That's how long the 40 Years' War lasted. Y'all know that. And then, they never could get anybody to live, and so they said, all right, all of you that are going to be working, you go on here and live in this town. All of you going to Catholics, you live in this town. Lutherans live in this town. Catholics live in this town. You got me? It's called partitioning. Are you Bosnians live here? All you Albanians live here? All you Serbs live here? Are you Croats? You're getting arrested. You're still the system. Yeah. So they had all the partitioning. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards this city, his twist. Thank you.